Sports. I am privileged to have another interview today from the one and only Daria Renee from TikTok. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I'm excited to have you on, not only because your TikToks are awesome, but as a fellow Seahawks fan, it's always fun to talk Seahawks football. So
yes, it definitely is.
So let's just dive in. So why are you a Seahawks fan? That's the big question.
Well, it's kind of a funny story, and most people might say, oh, I was a bandwagon at first, but I'm definitely not. But I started my first actual, like, football game that I watched because I used to live in San Antonio, Texas, so, you know, it's a bunch of Cowboy fans everywhere, and my dad's a Cowboys fan, so that's pretty much all we would watch, but I wouldn't really, like, watch. I'd just be around. But the first game that I actually watched was when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. And I was like, you know what? I like this team. I was like, their colors are nice. They're winners. So ever since then, I became a fan. And now I'm like so invested into it. So I'm not a bandwagon. We've definitely had bad seasons. And if I was a bandwagon, I would have left. But I've been staying through it. So I'm a fan.
I get that all the time, too. They're like, oh, you only like them, blah, 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 blah. Because I started rooting for them. My mom's side of the family is all from Washington, so I'd be disowned if I wasn't a Seahawks fan. So kind of followed suit. Yeah, and my grandpa's like an OG Seahawks fan, so he's turning 96 this year and has been rooting for the Seahawks since day one, so it's kind of a family tradition, and I didn't really understand how much I loved it until I got a little bit older and started understanding football. And I'm like, oh yeah, I love the Seahawks. They're the team. So I get it, but
where I live now, in Maryland, you know, it's Ravens, and everyone always asks me, how come you're not a Ravens fan? I'm just not.
It's all good.
Seattle's like extremely far away from me, but hey, I'm still a fan.
It's all good. All my buddies, I have a media group, and they all joke that because I'm from Vegas, they're like, well, now you're a Raiders fan. I'm like, they're growing on me, but they're definitely not my favorite team.
So yeah, once you got your team, you got to stay loyal.
Yeah, and I mean, you get it. You've been a Seahawks fan now for almost 10-plus years. Yeah, because they're reaching their 10-year anniversary when they won the Super Bowl. I get it. So what compelled you to start doing the whole Seahawk TikTok? Because you're one of the few consistent Seahawk accounts that I enjoy following. There's a handful of content creators that solely focus on Seattle, and I really enjoy your content. So what compelled you to start doing that?
Honestly, mainly because, well, I started my TikTok the second to last game of the season, so I did kind of start late. But I think the main reason why I started it was because I wanted to get closer to the 12s and just be around more Seahawk fans just on, like, online, obviously, because, like I said, where I live, I'm the only Seahawk fan around. Like, my family, it's all diverse. I have some Ravens fans, Eagles, 49ers. And I'm the only Seahawk fan, so I kind of watch the games by myself. So I just felt like making the TikTok. Plus, I have another TikTok that just, I don't know, it's just not what I wanted to do. So I just created the Seahawk one, and I actually really enjoy it. I've gotten a lot of support, and it's growing at a fast rate. And it's really interesting because now I'm definitely more in tune with the team every day. I look up everything that I possibly can, so I really know what I'm talking about. So that's why I just really enjoy doing it. I think it was, I don't know, because my main goal is I want to do sports, media, marketing, or just work with a team, social media. And I haven't been to college, so I don't have a degree. But I'm hoping that maybe just my experience will help me get in the door without having a degree. But
degrees aren't everything, that's for sure. I mean, And you kind of have to start, you have to take shots and take gambles. That's kind of what this podcast was for me, was taking a shot in the dark, seeing what would happen. Because I want to go the same route as well. But mine is more focused, being a girl, that I want to focus more on women's sports. So, like, being in Vegas, the Aces, we have a pro women's football team that I was a commentator for. That was actually a ton of fun. Sitting up in the booth, it is definitely a different view than being in the stands. Sitting in the booth, watching the game at a different intake, a different level. It's cool. And I recommend, if you ever get a chance to call a game, to take it. It is surreal sitting in the booth. Because we had like a little monitor in front of us, and sometimes the monitor wasn't fast enough, so we'd stand up over the monitor and catch, and it was live broadcast, so we had people actually watching us. It was intense, but it was fun. So I recommend
it. It's something to do. It's could be once in a lifetime thing.
And your TikToks are awesome. I enjoy watching them, and a lot of the breaking Seahawks news, I get it from your TikToks, because you tend to release it first before anyone else. Like, I tend to be fast, but you're even faster than I am at getting Seahawks news. So you're doing really good there.
Well, thank you. I really do try, and I appreciate it.
So who is your favorite Seahawk of all time, then?
Of all time, definitely Marshawn Lynch.
Absolutely.
He's like a goal. Like, I would love to interview him or something, like, in person. Like, that right there, that's the top of the chart. That's when I know I've made it.
Hey, you know what? Crazier things have happened. My favorite Seahawk player of all time is Lofa Tatupu. He was an all-pro linebacker back during the Seahawks' first Super Bowl run against the Steelers. He played from, I want to say, 04 to 2010. So he was actually there for the Beast Quake. And I got to interview him. I've actually got to work with him a little bit. He's a cool guy. And
wow.
He talked about the Beast Quake. It was cool getting that perspective from a player. He actually got concussed right before that series. So he was a little out of it when it happened. But he said it was a very crazy atmosphere to be a part of. So hopefully one day you can reach out. I mean, you miss every shot you don't take, so you got to start taking those shots.
Yeah, and that seems to be, I mean, I know he wasn't an interview type of guy, but he is now.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was on a TV show. You brought that, him and Richard Sherman. Is it a reality TV show that they're on, or is it like a sci-fi? Like, what is the whole concept of the TV show that they're on?
Well, it's funny that you asked, because I was just telling somebody else about it. I did get to watch it last night, and I'm actually excited for the next episode. So it's basically just a group of 12 people, and they're all celebrities. It could be an actor, actress, singer, you know, NFL players, a comedian. And they're basically all at this little area that's basically like living on Mars. So they're away from the outside world, but, I mean, obviously they're not on Mars. It's an undisclosed location, and they have to do like missions and go by their knowledge just to get by. And every 48 hours, they eliminate somebody. And then on top of that, they also have like a basically like the chief, the head commander, something like that. And for the first 2 days, they picked Marshawn Lynch. And it's awesome. Kind of funny, because at first when they were like, all right, who wants to be the commander and stuff like that, everyone was looking around, and they were going to pick this girl named, I think it's Ariel. She's from the Modern Family.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, no, I can't do this. You know, she was scared to fail and stuff. But then the guy came on and was like, well, whoever's the commander gets their own suite, because everyone has bunk beds. They all have to share bathrooms. And then Richard Sherman looked at Marshawn. He was like, you want to be commander? He was like, yeah. He wants his own bedroom. Because when he first walked in, he was like, my jail cell was bigger than this. You know how funny he is. So I knew he was definitely going to change his mind when they said that you get your own room and stuff. So it's really cool, because they just do different missions, and You know, a lot of them say that it kind of feels real. Like their food is all, they have to plant their own food and make sure it lasts them 24 days because that's how long they're there. And they, all of their food that they already have is like sealed up in bags. You know how if you're basically in outer space, everything's sealed up. So it's kind
So,
of a cool show. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. It comes on
it's a
Fox.
reality TV show then. So it's like a game show then.
Basically, yeah. Basically, like a game show, sort of.
That's cool. The only reason I knew about it is with TikTok, it's hit or miss how long I can watch TikToks because my daughter likes to watch TikToks, and if she gets my phone, she starts scrolling through them quicker. And so I kind of saw that you talked about it, but I didn't get it fully. So I'm happy you were able to explain it. So now I have another reality show I can tune into, especially with two Seahawk legends.
I know.
That is awesome. So the next question, this is so for the, well, those listening, this is obviously a little bit different from interviews because I'm interviewing a Seahawk fan at post awesome content. So, in your opinion, what hurt you more, Russell Wilson getting traded or cutting Bobby Wagner? Because they were both very sad moments in Seahawks' recent history. But in your opinion, what was more painful for you?
Honestly, I think cutting Bobby Wagner because Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, that was a mutual agreement. So it was kind of like, you know, obviously they wanted him to stay. I mean, he was our franchise quarterback, but we don't really know what went on, like in the locker rooms, facility, in the office, and all that. So I'm pretty sure, like I said, it was a mutual agreement. So Russell Wilson wanted to leave, and they were like, all right, well, you know, you can go ahead and go, but Bobby Wagner, he didn't want to leave, you know, so it was kind of sad. Like, that was his home, and, you know, I know he felt some type of way with leaving, and they just let him go. Like, wow. You know,
I was surprised.
it's kind of frustrating at the same time. Like, I would be mad if I was Bobby. I'd be like, I mean, I'm a great player. Like, why are you guys just letting me go?
Absolutely. It was shocking. And it happened on the same day. I was like, what more can happen to make this day not great?
Exactly. And it's not like he didn't do anything for the community. Like Seattle, they love Bobby Wagner. You seen how everybody reacted when we got him back. So, and he's
Yeah, I
happy
was
to
one
be
of those
back. He knew
excited.
all along that he wanted to retire there. And now people are saying, will Russell Wilson come back to retire? I don't see that happening at all. But I mean, who knows? But definitely Bobby Wagner leaving was. That one really hurt.
I think it would have hurt less had he not gone to a divisional rival. That's also
Yes.
kind of what was kind of that nasty sting. And I understand, like, I would be upset too. I've given my heart and soul to this organization 10 years, and then you don't have the decency to tell me that you cut me. Like, I find out via
Yeah.
Twitter, like, it's kind of messed up. But
It
yeah.
really is. That's why I said that one was more heartbreaking because I mean, put yourself in his shoes, like you just said, but then with Russell Wilson, it was kind of a mutual agreement. So
Yeah.
he
And I
kind of
feel
knew
like,
he was leaving, and he's always wanted to go to Denver.
yeah, I mean, personally, I get a lot of flack. Don't get me wrong, I loved Russ when he was a Seahawk, but now that he's not a Seahawk, I'm not the biggest fan. And then you just there's I don't know, I'm sure you've seen all the reports and all the things that are now coming
Yes.
out about him, and that's why I think Geno's thrived this past year. Everyone's like, oh, it was just a fluke here. I'm like, I don't think it was a fluke year. I think it's because the players really wrapped around him and that camaraderie that was missing. Because now you see all these big time players coming back to the fold, like KJ Wright's come back, Doug Baldwin, all these former Seahawk legends that kind of stayed away from the team after that Super Bowl blunder are now starting to come back. That I think Geno can be that guy for the next couple of years at least.
Yeah,
So we'll see.
definitely.
I
He has a
know,
lot of heart. Gino does. You could tell. Like, he's really putting in the work. He knows he's older. So I really think that He can go far. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. I always tell people, like, we don't need the greatest quarterback of all time to go somewhere. You just need somebody who really, works hard. 'Cause, working hard, that beats talent when talent fails to work. So, I
It's
mean,
true. And the Seahawks have gone to a Super Bowl with mediocre quarterback play. I love Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck was on top of liking Lofa Tatupu, Matt Hasselbeck, Sean Alexander, a lot of those old OG Seahawks players. He was average at best, and he took them to a Super Bowl. So even if Geno stays average and isn't anything amazing, our defense is looking really poised to be great this year. So I think.
Definitely. Our offense also, like, I really feel like we're gonna be a great team. Like, so many people doubted us last season and we made it to the playoffs, and even now this season, I've been saying this since like the end of our season, and I was like, the Seahawks are gonna go 12-5, and now I see so many people saying 12-5. So if they go 12-5, that'll be crazy. But I really believe that they can do it though. I really
Yeah,
do.
they have the talent, and a lot of these young players have finally had that year to grow. And I know a lot of people were surprised with Witherspoon being the first overall pick, but
Yes, I definitely was.
I was until I kind of started hearing the reports about Jalen Carter's work ethic. Like, yeah, we could have used a defensive tackle, but if you're questioning someone's work ethic, talent can only get you so far. You have to put in the work. So I think with Witherspoon, that's what they're getting. And it really adds that competition with the corners because you obviously have Tyreek, you have Kobe, Michael, and now Witherspoon. So there's four guys there that are going to compete for the starting two positions. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and who's at the number one? I think, isn't it? It's Woolen, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Woolen, and I will say this until I'm blue in the face. I think he should have won Defensive Rookie of the Year. His stats were far better than Sauce Gardner, but everyone was so high on Sauce because Sauce was a first round draft pick. And, I it'd be embarrassing for a fifth rounder to win it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, honestly, I feel like with that one, it could have went both ways. I mean, I'm not mad that Sauce won because he definitely deserved it. I feel like that would have been like a tie for me. Like, both of them were really good. And I think one of the reasons why Sauce also won is because of he was more popular.
Oh, absolutely.
But then
And
again, like, he made a name for himself, so I'm not, throwing shade on him at all. Like, he's a great player and he deserved that award, but I believe Tariq Woolen did also. But you can only have one winner. But I do know for Offensive Rookie of the Year, should have went to Kenneth Walker.
absolutely. He had more first place votes. I will never understand that. He did more in
Me
less
either.
time. So
I
And
was so mad because in my head, I'm like, yeah, he definitely won. And when they did not call his name, I was like, are you serious?
I just think it's more fuel to the fire, and especially, I mean, I would have loved if Rashad Penny would have re-signed just to kind of add that seniority because now our running back core is very young. But I
Yes.
think that's just going to put more fire to K9 to really teach these young guys that we drafted how to play so that we can have a 1-2-3 punch.
Yeah, now that you say that, Kenneth Walker recently just said in a press conference that him and Rashad Penny still communicate. So he said he still gives him pointers and stuff. And I mean, we obviously he's not in the locker room no more, but I mean, him and K9 still do talk, so that's good. But
And
I was
I
just
hope he
telling
has
somebody
success
else.
in.
I was just telling somebody else our running back, roster is very, very young. Our oldest player is Kenneth Walker, right?
DJ Dallas. And I
Oh
mean,
yeah.
I like DJ Dallas. He's one of those guys that it was also prone to injury. Like he'd get it going and then he'd get hurt. So I hope he can change that around because that's definitely going to be something that we've struggled with the last couple years is healthy running backs. So hopefully they can change something up.
Yeah, definitely. I think I made a video about that yesterday. I think Kenneth Walker will be our one, and Zach Charbonnet too. And then the number three spot, I don't know. I really feel like it could be DJ Dallas's, but I think they might give it to Kenny McIntosh.
Because Kenny McIntosh is also really good. I'm surprised
Yeah.
he went as late as he did. So we'll
And
see.
then we also got Bryant Kobach. I think that's how you say his name. We just recently signed him. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not going to be one, two, or three, but yeah, we
I'm
got a
interested
list.
to see how the wide receivers do too, with obviously DK is amazing, Tyler's amazing, and with Jackson, seeing how he fits into the whole mold.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, everyone knows DK is my favorite player in the NFL. So I know he, that's why I get more frustrated with him when he doesn't do good, 'cause I'm like, you're just so great. Like, you could be so much better. Like, last season, and I always tell people this, last season, I feel like he didn't play his best, if that makes sense. Like, we saw a whole different DK, and maybe that is because the transition of getting a new quarterback. He's only played with Russell Wilson. So I don't know, but I hope this season, you know, he does a lot better. Yeah, he did have a good season last year, but there were some times when I was like, come on, DK, like, you know you're better than this.
I don't know. I felt that too. I just la I did give a lot of people a hard time because they're like, "Oh, now that Russ is gone, DK's not going to be as good. Tyler's not going to be as good." And then obviously they both put up 1,000 yards, and
Yeah.
Russ had the year he did. And I'm like, "Huh, maybe it was the other way around. Maybe they made Russ look good." So, but I mean, I hope Russ can be successful this year. But
Yes, I honestly pray that he has a good season, because I don't, even though he's no longer a Seahawk and stuff, but I don't like the fact that people just throw him in the dirt. Like, yeah, he did have a bad season, but that doesn't make him a bad player or a bad quarterback. He's still Russell Wilson, and you just never know. Like, I really do pray that he does have a good season, because he is older, so he may be retiring soon. So I hope this isn't his downfall, but
he'll
never know.
probably bounce back. I mean, I'm just happy he played the way he did because it did benefit Seattle greatly. But now that there's no links tied to it, he can go and win the AFC West. That'd be a fun matchup in the Super Bowl, a
Oh my
Seahawks
God,
Broncos
yeah.
rematch.
Yes.
Because there's only one team Russ hasn't beaten in his career, and it is the Seahawks. So.
Yeah, that would be amazing to watch.
Yeah. So the next question I have for you, who would your Mount Rushmore be of Seahawks players? Who are your top four all time? And obviously, this is opinion based. Feel free to put the four that you want. I'm not going to judge you, I promise. I know some people tend to jump on that and like say, oh, it should be this person. But I'm genuinely curious who you think the four best Seattle players of all time are.
Of all time, so just four.
Yeah, just four. But I'll give you two honorable mentions, so six altogether. So like one or like five and six if you want. So
This is kind of hard. Well, number one, Marshawn Lynch. I'm gonna have to go with Cam at number two. I can't leave out Russell Wilson. I'm sorry, I gotta put him on there.
Oh, absolutely. He helped win the first Super Bowl. I wouldn't question that at all.
There's so many. Like, I could just name everybody.
True. The one person that often.
Definitely Richard Sherman.
Yeah, Richard Sherman as well. I could see that.
I
One
mean, that's
person that gets
four,
left
but
off is Walter Jones. Walter Jones was arguably one of the best left tackles to ever play the game of football. Crazy stat about Walter Jones is I think he only allowed 9 holding calls his whole entire career. And he played his whole entire career with Seattle, so. But obviously, linemen don't get the love that other players do, so he gets left off sometimes.
well, hey, we'll add him. That'll be five.
Yeah, Walter Jones,
Give him his shine that he deserves.
he's a Hall of Famer too, so he definitely is. I think Russ would have loved to have him play all those years where Russ was getting sacked all the time because no one was getting past Walter Jones. So.
I think for number six, and a lot of people disagree or even agree, but Doug Baldwin. I really feel like he
Absolutely.
was very underrated.
Yeah, and I love that whole chip on your shoulder mentality. I feel like that's what really helped the Seahawks make those back-to-back Super Bowls was everyone slept on them. Everyone didn't think they were going to be great, and they were obviously. So I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, all together, I think everyone we named is just great. That's why I
And
couldn't leave Russell Wilson. I know a lot of people be like, ew, do not put Russell Wilson. But hey, I think he is, like, I would say, the best quarterback the Seahawks had.
oh, absolutely. Because he had 10 great years with Seattle and we won a lot of games we probably shouldn't have. So, I mean, he's definitely going to go down as an all-time great. And I would not be surprised if someday the number 3 is retired. But maybe if he comes back, I think it would be poetic justice to see him retire as a Seahawk because as much as there was some ill feelings, I think fans would still welcome him back with open arms. So we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's stuck with Denver for like the next 4 years, so we'll
Yeah,
see how that plays out.
they spend a lot of money on him, so they gave
Absolutely.
up a lot.
We gave up a lot and spent a lot of money on him. And, I think in the long run, it's going to benefit both teams. In the short run, it's definitely benefited Seattle more than it has Denver. But obviously, it's only been 1 year, so only time will tell.
Yeah, we definitely gotten better.
Absolutely. Our rebuild year wasn't really a rebuild year. It was a expedited rebuild here, so it was fun to watch.
Really was. I enjoyed last season. Even though, one thing I'm gonna say, 49ers, we cannot let them beat us twice. Again, three times in a row? No. But we need to at least beat them once. Like, that's the main game I'm ready for.
Oh, absolutely. I will say this till I'm blue in the face, that ineligible man downfield when we were in scoring position that really killed our drive when we had the lead, it was a phantom. It was a phantom call and it benefited the Niners and they're like, oh yeah, the Niners smashed you guys in the playoffs. No, you didn't. Up to that point, it was us. It was Seattle's game. And then they started to kind of just fall apart. So but I attribute that one play is really what started the downfall. But I think we'll bounce back and I'm excited to play them for Thanksgiving. It'll be fun. I think it's the first time there's ever been a Thanksgiving game in Seattle. So
Yeah, that'll be a fun game to watch. It's gonna be, we're gonna be trying to celebrate and be with our families, but I'm gonna be glued to the TV.
Me too. And it's going to be an interesting because that in the span of 12 days, they're playing 3 games. And not
I
only are they,
know.
and they're playing 3 brutal games because say what you
Yeah.
want about the Rams, but The Rams always seem to come to play. Whenever we play them, it's always a really close game. Then we play the Niners, and then we play the Cowboys. And then if you want to look even further, the following week we play the Eagles. That span of four games is going to be really an indicator to see how well we can compete against the top-tier NFC teams.
While being possibly jet-lagged and tired. And I hope that, you know, they can get the proper care while they're going through all that, because it's crazy how their bye week is in week five. Like,
it's early this year.
Like, that's such a horrible area. Like, they're just getting started. And they're going to get in their groove, and then they're going to have a bye week.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm excited. Like I said, Lofa's kind of someone that I talk to a lot about my Seahawks knowledge, because he's helping the team now as like a linebacker coach or something along the lines. He's doing some type of coaching with the Seahawks, and he said he's getting that kind of like 2011, 2012 vibes with these Seahawks. So just on a cusp of a Super Bowl run, like could make a Super Bowl run, could not make a Super Bowl run. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, really will.
So I want to change gears for this next question. So obviously my podcast focuses a lot with women or with female athletes and women in sports. And obviously you are a woman's content creator for the Seahawks, and a really good one at that. So the question that I like to ask every athlete and content creator that I have on is, if you were in front of a whole bunch of people and the question was posed, why should people support women in sports and women athletics, what would your answer be?
I'm sorry, like you were breaking up in the beginning of the question.
Oh, it's all good. Like I said, this app is hit or miss. So the question I like to ask is, if you were in front of a crowd and the question was posed, why should people support women content creators in sports and women athletes, what would your answer be?
Well, that is a big thing to me also, because I get a lot of hate for being a female talking about a sport. So my answer would be, just because we're, you know, a different gender doesn't mean that we don't know what we're talking about or we don't know how to play. You know what I mean? Like, we Absolutely. Do the same amount of work that a man would do for his sport. You got to have the heart, the passion for it. And people just think females just do it just to do it. But there's females out here that really, you know, take pride in what they do and really work hard for things. And sometimes they even work harder than the men, because it's kind of hard being a female athlete or just a female talking about sports, because you always get overlooked. And like I say, like with sports and stuff, the women don't get paid as much as the men. And yeah, I understand the men do bring in the fans and all the money, but that's because I feel like men are more promoted than the women.
Oh, absolutely. I feel
like if the women were broadcasted like the men were, you would see more fans coming in.
Oh, yeah.
But,
and I think Kelsey Plum says it best. She's a guard with the Aces. They're not asking to get paid the same amount of money as their male counterparts. They're asking to get paid the same amount of percentage. Because right now, WNBA players don't make any money off their jersey sales. And, like, when I say the Aces games sell out, they sell out. I took my daughter to an Aces game a couple weeks ago, and there's 12,000 fans in there, and it was packed to the brim. And the amount of jerseys that are in there are crazy, and these athletes don't even get a portion of the money that those jerseys cost the same amount as an NBA jersey would cost. So they definitely should.
Well, I didn't even know that. I thought they got all of that.
No, they don't. And that's what's crazy. And obviously, I've had a lot of pro football players, women football players on here, and they talk about how they're really not trying to take away from the men. They just want a chance to play and shine and showcase their talents because they can ball out too.
Yeah.
Being
They
someone
can
who's gone to a
definitely
lot of
put on a
games.
show. I've been to two
Absolutely.
WNBA games and, you know, practically sat courtside because, you know, it's way cheaper than NBA. And because the Mystics are my favorite team. So I went to Mystics versus Mercury and then Mystics versus Sparks.
Oh, nice. Those are both really good games. And I think the Mystics are getting quite overlooked this season. I will say I think the Aces have a chance at a repeat. I know it may sound a little biased because of how watching them live, they are out for blood, but the Mystics are definitely a dark horse. I think they have a chance to make it to the championship game this year. Everyone is talking about how Vegas and New York are the two favorites, but the Majestics are getting overlooked, that's for sure. So, be interesting.
Yeah, and my favorite player is Elena Deladon, and it was just really
She's a
exciting
baller.
To see her. So I've never been to an NBA game, which is crazy. I've never been to one, but I really did enjoy the WNBA game, and I feel like women deserve more recognition when it comes to sports. I guess, you know, playing basketball and just sports in general isn't feminine, you know, as people would say. It's more of the gymnast and, you know, dance and all that. But hey, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I want to say there is actually a pro football team, a women's football team up in your area as well in Baltimore. I'll have to double check, but I know there's a team in Seattle. They're called the Majestics. They've had a rough couple years, but they play their hearts out. It's absolute ball to watch them
Yeah,
play.
I follow, I think, two girls on Instagram that play football. I think it's like flag football or something like that. And is they're really like good? Like, it's interesting.
So like the league that I was commentating for was full blown tackle, like pads and everything. And some of those hits, I'm like, no, like me being 6'2", I don't want to take those kind of hits. I mean, maybe when I was younger, I could, but now they would light me up. So it's fun to watch. And for anyone who says women's sports are boring, they really haven't ever given them a chance. I wholeheartedly feel that. Because if you're invested in it, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and like with people, because it's mainly always basketball, you know, the WNBA is like the biggest female sport organization there is. And people always say, oh, they can't dunk, all they do is shoot and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, we have to understand, or they have to understand, that these women are not 7 feet tall, you know, 6'5", all that. Like, and our bodies just, I mean, we're able to do it like men, you know what I mean? Like, there is a difference between a female and a male, and our bodies just aren't built like that. So don't expect that, but, you know, we can still do so much more, and it shows a lot. Like, it shouldn't have to take somebody to be 7 foot, like, well, I think she's like 6'11", Brittany Griner, for her to get some, for people to want to watch women's basketball. But I really feel like women are definitely overlooked, and we should be treated just right. Like, I shouldn't get hate for talking about the Seahawks, but I do. But see, I understand it, and like, it doesn't even matter. Like, I'm pretty sure it doesn't even faze a lot of women now. It's just something that we have to deal with. But maybe one day it'll change.
Hopefully. And the other thing that I always find ridiculous is the quizzing. Like, I think that is so dumb. Like, not too long ago. So, yeah, I'm in Vegas, and I do root for the Golden Knights. But I also like the Kraken. I think the hockey team, the Kraken, their colors are really cool. I don't know. I just – Seattle has a special place in my heart. And so – my mother-in-law bought me a Seattle Kraken shirt. Well, my wife, so I'm 6'2", my wife is 5'1", So my shirts are really baggy on her, and she likes to wear that. It's comfortable for her, whatever. So one day she went to a Walgreens to go buy something, and she got quizzed, like, I want to say like 30 or 40 questions about hockey, about the Krakens, about the Golden Knights, all because of the shirt she was wearing. I'm like, are you serious? Like, why can't people just be fans? Why do you have to quiz them? Because I can almost guarantee you, I know more females that know the game of football better than a lot of guys, and they never get questioned. So it's
And
just.
I definitely believe that happened, 'cause for me it has happened. I have people, like I'll go live and they'll just start asking me like millions of questions and like, oh, well, you're not answering them, or you don't know them. You're a female. You don't need to be watching sports, or you know nothing about football, stuff like that. And it's like, well, dang, but I do know what I'm talking about. Or
Oh
like,
yeah, you
even if
do.
I post something like rumors or something, they're like, oh, well, she definitely don't know what she's talking about because I haven't seen it, or there's nothing that says anything about this, like. I wouldn't just make stuff up and post about it. But just because I'm a female, if I was a male, they wouldn't even say that.
It's ridiculous. And for anyone that's listening, because obviously I'm going to share this on all social media, anyone that questions your fanhood, I will be the first one to say, you beat me to Seahawk content all the time. There are so many cases where, like, I'm an avid Seahawks fan. I'm an avid sports fan, and I like to be in the known. And you beat me almost. I think there was one case where I shared something that with you on Instagram before you found out about it. But other than that, you always beat me. So anyone that questions your fanhood, you can send them my way, and I'll set them straight.
Well, thank you. But hey, I don't even pay it no mind. I just continue to do what I do because you're always gonna have people talk.
And there's always that saying, if you don't have haters, you're not doing something right. Or whatever the
Yes.
saying. There's a saying. There's some sign. I may have messed that up,
I think you said it right.
but awesome. And like I said, I enjoy your content. My daughter, who has the attention span of a goldfish, she enjoys watching the videos for a couple seconds. She recognizes that's a Seahawk, so I'm gonna look at it for a second, and then she scrolls past it. But she enjoys it too. So, and I truly appreciate what you're doing as a girl dad. Like I said, this podcast, I started it with the intentions to give a platform for content creators like yourself and athletes to share their stories, to kind of give their two cents in a safe place and where they're not going to be judged, because I'm the last person to judge anyone. I try not to. I mean, we are human, it does happen, but I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate what you're doing and all that you're doing, because you're making the path a little bit easier for these little girls that are watching sports now to when they get older. So I truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
So before we go, the last thing I'd like to do, so it's a couple things that I want you to give a little girls a piece of advice as a woman in sports. What would your piece of advice be for them?
It would be to never lose sight of what you're, and don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong and that you don't know what you're talking about. And just keep that same drive, keep that same mentality of where you have, because most people, when you're doing stuff like this, you have a certain goal that you're trying to reach, unless you're just doing it just to basically have a hobby or something like that. But if there's a goal that you really want to reach, don't stop. Just don't stop. Just keep going. And, like, stay consistent. That's a huge one. You gotta stay consistent. Don't try to go into something else because you feel like what you're doing isn't working. Because trust me, you never know who's watching. You never know who will see it. And, time will go by, and that video that you thought wasn't going to get go nowhere is the one that gets you somewhere. So, my main thing is stay consistent, work hard, never give up, don't listen to the haters. And trust that God will lead you in the right direction. And also pray about it. I'm really big on praying and, You know, God seems to lead me where I need to be and help me with certain things. So, yeah, definitely pray about it.
Awesome. Those are excellent pieces of advice. I'm excited for when my daughter's old enough to like go back and listen to these episodes. She can hear all these different pieces of advice from those your giants in the industry and the trailblazers. So the last thing I want to do is before we go, is there anyone that you would like to shout out?
Well, I want to shout out my family, my daughter. I want to shout out all the 12s, all the whole Seahawks organization, the NFL. I want to shout out to all the haters also, and to all of my supporters. And I want to shout out God.
That's awesome. So before we go, how can they find your social media? So what is your username so that they can look you up and give you a follow?
So my TikTok is at Dierra Renee underscore, and my Instagram is just at Dierra Renee. So just no underscore for that one.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to share your Seahawks knowledge with me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you for interviewing me and allowing me to be on your podcast.
Awesome. Well